I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Top story. Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has been removed from power, and there are tanks in the streets of Moscow.
This was a vast country with a history of hockey. We couldn't believe that one of the greatest teams was on the verge of extinction.
Now an American team has a stake in Russian hockey, rescuing an entire sport from thin ice.
It's complete chaos.
The Red Army team is 50% owned by the Pittsburgh Penguin and a group of investors that includes movie and TV star Michael J. Fox.
And you called them what?
Well, they're called the Russian Penguins.
Well, as you know, there's no rules in Russia. That's our slogan.
Apparently not. Apparently the rules were set by the Russian mob, and then you went about your business. Wow. You can't make this stuff up, and that's what documentarians tend to look for as they gravitate to fascinating material. And that's more of what we have from this man, Gabe Polsky. He is on Twitter at Gabe Polsky. He is the director of Red Penguins, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Gabe, how are you?
Well, Dan, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is wild stuff. Was the making of the documentary in any way sort of a recapitulation of this experience? Because this had to be quite the story to tell.
Yeah, I mean, it was just totally crazy. I'd never heard anything quite like it. I'd actually never heard about it. I mean, even the most diehard kind of sports fans or you know, hockey fans knew nothing about it. It's just really an absurd premise. You know, the idea of an American team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, taking ownership in one of the greatest hockey dynasties and kind of Soviet military-owned team, this Red Army kind of team in Russia, and the fact that they were bankrupt and they went to their enemies to basically save them. So the whole thing, the whole premise experiment of Americans coming over to Russia in the 90s, which was, you know, one of the most dramatic periods ever in history, you know, when you have a country going from complete authoritarian control to no rules and no laws, you know, because everything was being rewritten then, and trying to kind of make a business venture succeed. You know, it's just an insane sports story that I think people are going to be completely surprised by.
Against whom did they play?
Yeah, so the Russians had a league. So even during the Red Army times in the Soviet Union, they had to play somebody. It wasn't just traveling internationally and playing NHL teams. They played in Russia. There are teams from different cities, kind of like the KHL now. So they would play other teams in Moscow, but then different cities in Russia.
When I saw the name Stephen Warshaw, and I thought, oh my God, because Steve Warshaw was the first general manager of the CBA's Rockford Lightning back in the day, back in the Charlie Rosen and Norm Van Leer days, and when Doug Logan built the Metro Center. And when I went to work for the Rockford Lightning in 92, I was still hearing Steve Warshaw stories. The guy was,
wow.
I mean, you talk about like a larger than life. The story is Mauro Panaggio would tell me, that's the kind of thing Steve Warshaw would do. You know what Steve Warshaw would do? And it was just like, he was kind of like a Bill Veeck when it came to, there was never a bad idea. It was never anything he'd say, no, I won't do that. And he would try anything to get attention or to get people to come to a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. I mean, it's almost like it's almost like Woody Allen, you know, being kind of like the craziest marketing guy going to Mars, you know, and trying to sell something. You know, he was trying to fill at the time that there was no one coming to games because the NHL had taken all of Russia's best players. And Steve, they said in the movie, you know, only Jesus Christ could fill this building. You know, and Steve said, okay, let me see what I could do. And 3 months later, he made it literally the biggest show in Russia at the time, because people would go to the arena simply to get like toilet paper. And he got like Gillette to give free razors. And at the time, you know, and free beer. And so you had 15-year-old kids just getting drunk at games. And it was insane, you know, but it was just basically the biggest show in Russia. And Steve brought all these really eccentric marketing ideas. Like there was a strip club underneath the arena. That was what was happening at the time. Steve would take, you know, ask the strippers to come and do halftime shows, basically. So it was, and Steve, you know, as you said, I mean, Rockford, I mean, he was everywhere. He's been to every state in all the minor leagues, and you know, minor leagues, if you could fill those bills, I mean, it's hard, you know?
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I know how difficult it having gone through every tool and die shop trying to sell group tickets and going to, you know, church groups and everything. Believe me, I know it's always a hustle. It is constantly a hustle. And but this hustle was against the backdrop of, when I say Russian mob, you know, the most like cartoonish kind of thing here. When you picture, you know, the guy with a bulbous nose and a tracksuit and Bruno Mali loafers, but they were actually murdering people like at and outside the arena.
Well, at the time, I mean, it was fairly common. There was a lot of business killings, and as soon as, you know, any business got somewhat successful, and a lot of American companies were coming to Russia at the time because they thought there was just a lot of opportunity. It's basically the Wild East, and you know, you claim your stake, but as soon as any business got successful and was somewhat visible, that's when the mafia said, okay, well, we're going to take our piece or take all of it. And that's exactly what happened to the Russian Penguins.
How did you go hunting for useful video?
You mean archival or?
Yeah. I mean, just
interview.
No, I mean, the interviews I know you can get now, but like finding what it was like then, to what lengths did you have to go to get game action and archival stuff?
Yeah. So there's a lot of archival in the movie, and what any documentarian, you know, tries to do is make it active, make it interesting, bring people into a world that you've never seen. And most 99% of Americans had never been to Russia, let alone Russia in the 90s, which people were so afraid of going there, you know? And so I had some colleagues in Russia track a lot of stuff down, and stuff would come in. You had people who were collecting stuff. There's a lot of hoarders out there, you know? And so you track people down and try and find really unique footage that brings you into that time, not just the hockey, but also the politics and the world. And so there's, in this film, there's not a whole lot of hockey. The reason is because the hockey was terrible. The whole point was that the Americans were coming in and it was all about marketing and business, not about hockey. They did want to get a lot of the young players being developed out of Russia, first look, you know, at that. But, yeah.
What ended up with it being the net loss or profit? Did they make their initial investment back? What happens to the money?
Yeah, well, there's different accounts of that. You know, I think Howard Baldwin would say, who was the owner, that, yeah, we made some money there, and it was a good investment until, you know, basically what happened was the mafia started stealing money, you know, and they would just, you know, started with $100,000 and then ended up being like close to $1 million, according to Steve.
Do you set it up with a notable protagonist? Are we rooting for them? Are we sort of dispassionate observers, or does the viewer have a stake in this differently?
Well, I think the viewer, you know, is going to kind of understand the American perspective at the beginning, just because that's who we are, you know, and that's the perspective we understand. But then as you kind of get further into the movie, you start to realize what this country was going through and how difficult it was to survive there, you know, economically. It was a disaster, right? And so you think in America, you know, if our country all of a sudden, the system collapsed and everyone had to kind of fend for themselves and figure it out it would be difficult. It would be, you know, what would you do? You know, and I think that the film forces you to kind of look at that and sort of wonder about that. You know what I'm saying?
Ugh, now this sounds terrifying, because if I had talked to you last year and you'd said that, I would have said, well, that's a very interesting sort of academic thought exercise. And now I can actually see it happening, and you're making me worried.
Well, there is, you know, the humor, the movie is kind of a dark comedy. It's very humorous, but then it kind of turns a little bit dark. And I think that, you know, during these kinds of times, you've got to have a little bit of humor about all of it, you know, otherwise it's hard to survive, you know?
What I find amazing, and I kept thinking about this, and I can't wait to see the movie, was generally, because a hockey rink is really expensive to maintain, like usually those compressors, the idea of the power and running a hockey rink, that in a poorly functioning society, it's really hard to keep an ice rink operating at all.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened. I mean, Steve describes when he showed up to the arena, and again, this is the greatest, arguably the greatest team in history, Red Army team. When he arrived there, there were electricians sleeping in the boxes in the arena where there were technically the sky boxes. There were electricians sleeping there. It was a total dump. They had no trophy cases. The trophies had been pillaged, and there was like three or four trophies in a tiny case. And again, they won every Olympics, like, you know, for 40 years, you know. And it was just in total disrepair. Steve said that, you know, the Army actually, the soldiers built the arena. But, you know, people took whatever they could out of there, you know, because it was like people were just trying to, like, survive, you know.
It is available today on demand. Universal Pictures presents the documentary Red Penguins, directed by our guest Gabe Polsky. Sounds great, Gabe. I can't wait to see it, and good luck with it. We'll talk again.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
That is Gabe Polsky, Red Penguins director, among our guests today. That also included Sahadev Sharma and Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thanks to Brian Gertz, who directed our video feed at Twitch. Thanks to Ray Diaz, the executioner, for being the guy who holds it together and doing what he does. Tomorrow, Mike Florio at 10, Steve Stone at 11, and more to come. David Ross is standing by to talk to Lawrence Holmes, so don't go anywhere. Have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow at 9 on the Score.
McNeil and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, covering all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the biggest moments in Chicago sports history. Listen in your car, on your ride home from work, or from your smart speaker on the radio.com app at home. Mac and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.